Hello and welcome to Fat Mascara. Happy 2020.
Happy 2020. I'm Jen.
I'm Jess. And we are here with all of you. So nice to see you in 2020. Thanks for coming. We have a fun show today. First, we're going to do a little catch up, a little post-holiday recap. Jen and I haven't really spoken a lot like since the holidays.
I haven't seen you in like 3 weeks.
I know. It's pretty weird. And then because I usually see Jen so much more. And then resolutions. We're going to share ours and we are going to share some of yours. You guys had some good ones.
And we have the most fun guest, my new favorite person besides Jess, which is Tina Craig, aka the Bag Snob, a beauty entrepreneur of her own now. And we have a great interview with her. So stay tuned.
And she's fun.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Jen, like the rest of the world, I was following you on Instagram.
like 11,000 other people.
And you had a pretty, you had like a very idyllic looking holiday.
That's because I went to Germany and
Bavaria.
It's like the land of Christmas. Like everything you think is true. Like everything's just like mulled wine and gingerbread houses. And then you turn the corner and there's like
a thatched roof.
Yeah, like Grimm's fairy tales and blah, blah, blah. So
what brought you to Germany?
Okay, well, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the podcast, actually, but Eric, my husband, has a son. I'm not going to give his name because he's underage and he's not my son, but I'll call him A.
I love the discretion.
Right? So he's 5 and he lives in Berlin. He was also, Jess can attest to this, the star of our wedding.
Oh my God, he's so cute.
Anyway, he lives in Berlin with his mom.
He has great style. He's like the sartorialist, but like little.
Oh my God, he's like Berlin, like he's probably a techno DJ at nights that I don't know about. So we were there to visit with him and he like stays with us and we have an Airbnb and all that. It was awesome, except for there was a beauty element. Can I fill you in?
Sure.
I had my first delousing experience.
What's delousing mean?
You know, kids come home from daycare and they get lice sometimes.
Oh, great. As I investigate like every daycare on the West Side.
You know that baby hair. You know that picture of me when I was little and I had a mullet?
Yeah.
I had that mullet because I had to cut off all my hair after delousing. And it's just like that little comb that you have to put through after you do the treatment.
Jesus.
It no fun. Let me tell you, mamas out there.
Are you scared that you're going to get the lice while you're
treatment.
Doing it?
I did the treatment.
So the person who delices must delice themselves.
No, not necessarily.
Too?
It's only if you, because I talked in German, thank you, with translation by a 5-year-old with the pharmacist about all of this. It's like if you have head-to-head contact, but we had slept next to him one night. So I was like, let me just do it anyway.
Sure.
Those treatments are no joke. It's like gasoline on your head.
So, yeah, what is it? Is it? I've never seen this.
Like, well, I don't know about all of them, but this is the German one that we got. And yeah. You put the treatment in. It's almost like it's a lot like the Wonder Water consistency, that product.
Okay, yeah.
And you put it in for 10 minutes. And then when you're done and you go to look at their hair, if there was anything moving, which there had been, it is.
You saw things moving?
Yeah. It's not as gross as, I mean, it happens to every kid at some point, honestly. And so everything's then killed and you use the really tight comb to comb through their hair to take out any of the nits and the eggs. And then you have to do the treatment again in 10 days, because if there were some eggs that didn't die, they might hatch in 10 days. That's the gestation period for a lice, which I learned, which is Louse in German.
So let me ask you another question. Can lice jump into the carpet, like, or the mattress?
Yes, but
like
they won't
buds?
Live. Unlike a bed bug, they won't live outside a human host.
Okay.
So it's not like, but they'd live for some amount of time because, like, we think he got it from, like, this hotel he was staying in. Or, like, the kids, like, in their hats if they share a hat. But if you share, like, a pillow with someone who had it,
yeah,
like, it can go that way. But the most common way, and this is why kids always get it, not adults, is head touching. Like, you know how kids just, like, rub all over each other, share everybody's heads and hats
and
everything?
Not my kid.
I challenge a mother or father out there that hasn't had to deal with this with their child. Like, truly. Like, I feel like I hear about this all the time.
Wow.
It's very normal, but little did I think that was going to be my Christmas break.
God, that
he was a good sport
about
it all.
You're a champ. You are a champ. Is he feeling okay?
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's itchy, but it's not like, yeah. It was fine. How was your Christmas and Hanukkah and New Year's and Kwanzaa and the whole end of the year?
It was really good. So I went to the.
Do you have notes?
Yeah,
why do you have notes?
Because for our next segment, shush.
Oh, I thought you were looking at paper to remind yourself where you were 2 weeks ago.
Maybe we did
continue,
a lot.
Continue.
Okay. So you were in Bavaria. I was in Batavia. Mm-hmm.
Oh, upstate New York.
Yeah, they call it Western New York. Don't say upstate.
Why not?
If you're a Western New Yorker, you know what I mean. I didn't know this until I started dating my husband. It's like a whole different region. If you say upstate, like, you could be talking about, you know, like where I got married, you know, like an hour out of the city.
Oh, okay.
Western New York is a whole different region. So this is like the Buffalo, Rochester.
I'm sure our Australian
area.
Listeners right now are like, great,
yeah,
good to,
like,
know.
Exactly. Well, it blew my mind. So we were in that area for like 4 or 5 days. Then we came home on Christmas. And then after that, I was home in my apartment so happy because I was in nesting mode. This is a real thing.
Oh, you're making a little baby nest for your baby.
It's not even just like, you know, I'm not like, oh, let's put up like the crib or whatever. It's just like getting rid of stuff, like a complete beauty product audit. And also I made
What did you audit?
I had to get rid of some things.
What did you keep?
I brought them to work. I keep all of my Tom Ford and Charlotte Tilbury products.
Okay.
Remember when Luke Henderson like made fun of me for like, he called me a hoarder?
Under the bed storage.
Under the bed. I have one under the bed storage thing now. It's fine. It's
like a plastic bin with backup beauty products.
Exactly.
You never know what might happen.
Exactly. So I just was in cleaning mode, but I was also in like deep reflection mode. And worked really hard on my New Year's resolutions. So every year I would do a little plan of like my goals.
Yes.
So I went back to my 2019 goals, had like a come to Jesus.
Okay.
Some were achieved with great success. Some like looked completely unfamiliar to me.
Oh my gosh. Oh, so we talking New Year's resolutions now?
Yeah, I think we should segue to New Year's resolutions.
Here we go.
One of the resolution strategies that I really like, I do break it down to like money, relationships, work, that kind of thing. But I like the idea of having a theme, one-word theme.
You're such a Virgo, and I don't even believe in astrology.
Okay. So I love, if you guys are looking for another podcast, not a replacement podcast, but Gretchen Rubin's podcast. It's all like happiness and like all that kind of, you know, self-improvement stuff. And she's actually like really not annoying, because that could be annoying. She has for the new year, what is your word? What is your intention?
Okay. And yours is?
No, I want to ask you, if you were to come up with a word, and I realize I'm putting you on the spot, what would
it be? All in my head is wear your retainer, because I did my – so is my word retainer?
Retainer. It could be dental hygiene.
When you asked me to bring my New Year's resolution, I was like, I really need to wear that freaking Invisalign retainer I spent all that money on.
Wait, I didn't even know you had a retainer.
Oh my God. We need to do a whole topic on my Invisalign trials and tribulations.
Yes. No, I'm intrigued now.
Okay. So maybe retainer is a horrible mantra.
It could be health. It could be
straightness teeth.
It could be compliance.
Michelle.
Compliance.
I just looked back at Michelle like, save me. What can I do? Compliance. That's a sexy mantra. My word is compliance, Jess.
No, what's your word?
embrace.
Oh, that's nice.
Because I was like thinking about embracing unknowns and trying new things and embracing the people you love. Embrace is my word. There you go.
I think that's really nice.
Thank you. Just pulled that out of my ass.
I'm going to get that on a bracelet for you that you're going to have to wear all year.
Fuck, I don't want to. What's yours?
Ready?
Okay.
My word is boundaries.
Okay.
I thought that was pretty good, right?
Okay. And tell me why.
Just being protective of my time. Can't say yes to everything. I need to kind of conserve what I'm giving right now. And I think it's because my time is going to be more limited. But just kind of like, it's okay. If I can't do that, it's okay.
And that word manifests as boundaries.
I think so. And that sounds more like aggressive and like kind of like psychotherapy. Like,
yeah.
Oh, like don't invade my boundaries or like, you know, I've got a wall up. No, it's just like, this is the time for that. Maybe it's like compartmentalized.
Okay, I got you. Like if I'm with my husband, we're going to focus on each other. Boundaries are, this is family time.
Yes.
Boundaries
if I'm
are,
working,
this is work time.
Or if I'm working on something, I need deep focus. I need deep focus on this right now.
My boundary is here and I need to focus.
If I need a day to myself, I'm sorry, I need a day to myself. Like boundaries.
How is this going to affect me, Jess? So like when I text you and you need a day to yourself, like what is the message I'm going to be getting back? Or are you just going to like text me one word like boundaries?
I might say that to myself, but when I see your text, Rob, and boundaries
like,
now.
And then I just text back, embrace. And you're like, but boundaries. And I'm like, but embrace.
It's funny because yours is more like
opposite.
Open and mine is more closed,
okay.
Which I think is funny.
And that's actually what our opposites were. I think we're trying to do the thing that we're not as good at.
Yes. I think
and
I'm
I was
a
not
good,
good
embracer.
You are absolutely.
But I'm a really shitty boundary person.
And I think I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
Look at that. You guys, we totally planned this segment and that our boundary and embracing.
I want to know what your words are, listeners, because like I don't know.
Oh,
I'm very inspired by this whole thing. Oh, but you did.
Oh my God, we'll do a post on Instagram and all you get to do is just
your one word
comment, your one word answer.
Wait, but I did ask the listeners
tell
for
me
their
some
resolutions.
Of their resolutions.
Okay?
I would love to hear these.
So you guys were awesome. I asked a call out. This is when I was in my like deep thinking mode and I'd put, you know, I was like, I want to know like how other people
are thinking.
Our listeners
are the best for that. Like, it's like a big family that you didn't know you had. I'm embracing them.
So I'm blocking everyone. No. I'm teasing. So I asked you guys what your resolutions were. I didn't make you do the one word Gretchen Rubin thing, but I really liked a lot of these. I thought they were very inspiring. You ready? I'm just going to share a few. Jessica says she wants to be mindful of screen time, especially with social media.
Excellent.
I think that's good. I want to figure out how to use that screen time like calculator app thing for the iPhone.
The phone has it built in. I'll show you where it is.
Because sometimes it tells me like you're down or you're up, but I want to know all the time.
We'll make it an alert so when you on your home screen, it'll say this week you're doing this.
Exactly. So I can compartmentalize too much social media.
I embrace that and I'll help you with it.
Okay. Diane wants to volunteer at 2 nonprofits in her state. And she wrote that she basically wants to give back and like help make the world a better place.
Did she mention the nonprofits?
She didn't mention which ones.
Diane, when we post, please post which nonprofits because I love hearing about what other people support.
Completely. Marcel, I thought this was really deep. I loved it. Try to help more people I know see their own self-worth.
Marcel.
Michelle is nodding
you
and
are
like,
a
yeah.
Fucking rock star, Marcel.
Right? I wish I were in your life. Leah, this I laughed when I read this. More yoga, less sugar. It's
I
very
wanted to
direct.
Rhyme, like, more yoga, less sugar.
Right.
That doesn't work. Okay.
Gloria. Using my planner, which I love because I just bought a planner. Maybe if you
like
guys,
a paper planner?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? Because Sam on my team, Sam is like a cool millennial. She uses.
So are you.
No, but she's like 25 or something.
She's, yeah.
Okay. She's like very.
She's like a few years younger than Jess.
Yeah. Love you. So
I'm pulling a Marcel and telling you your self-worth.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Okay. Sam uses a paper planner, and she kind of caught me off guard with that. And it's like she can digest the information.
We've talked
better.
About this. I always have that paper notebook, and you were using that note app, and I was like, I can't think if I'm not actually writing with a pen.
I have to figure out my system, but I bought myself like a fancy one.
Ooh, that'll help.
Okay. And then this was really popular, and there were way too many folks to like even name here. But people are talking about wanting to switch their products over to vegan or cruelty-free products.
Love it.
And shopping their stash instead of like going and buying all new things.
Like, I keep thinking, like, I wish all of you guys were near us and we could do one big product swap together. But we know we trusted everybody because they were all Fat Mascara listeners. And mm-hmm. they'd all have good products you actually want to, like, shop.
And they wouldn't, like, sell them on eBay. And we'd
yeah,
we'd trouble.
Pull out our underbed bin, right? We'd pull out our underbed bins and yeah. shop the stash.
I think it's, you know,
it's a great resolution.
It's like learning to love what you have. And nobody's saying like, oh, I never want to buy anything again. But it's just like more thoughtful, mindful purchases. And yeah. that kind of dovetailed with a lot of the, there were a lot of sustainability pledges as well. So
yeah, something we've been talking about in the yeah. last couple of weeks.
So
good.
Yeah, you guys are great.
Happy New
you.
Year, Fat Mascara family.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
We are here with Tina Craig, otherwise known as Bag Snob. She has gone from influencer with a capital I to beauty entrepreneur. Maybe you've heard about her brand new beauty. It just launched in November. Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Welcome.
Looking gorgeous.
Thank you for having me. I'm
you just
so
changed
excited.
Into a whole look.
So I walked here in my sneakers and I'm like, oh, they're not here. Let's get dressed. So I had my Jen from my team had to, you know, pin up my pants, put on my shoes for me. So it's New York. We got to live it like this.
We walked in our studio and she's standing there in Oscar de la Renta, like couture with red
full
glitter pants.
It's
and
a full
I was like,
look.
This is what I wanted from Bag
Snob. The pants are Galvin.
From Tina Craig.
Pants are Galvin London. I have
beautiful.
To give him a shout out.
I literally feel like a hobo next to you right
oh,
now.
Oh, stop.
Oh, my God.
I mean, look
yeah.
how cute you are. Jen, that belly.
Jen's kind of like, yeah, well, you know, not your best day, Jess. All right. Let's get to it. We have a lot of questions to ask you.
Okay.
You were one of the first influencers and one of the first bloggers, really, too. So for those who may not be familiar with you or Bag Snob, I doubt they're out there, but for the one or two, how did Bag Snob begin?
Yes,
what is
back
Bag Snob?
Then, when I started, we were called bloggers. And blog was like a dirty four-letter word.
Yeah.
2005. And I had just moved to Texas and had a baby. My son was about 6 months old. And my best friend from college had moved to Cambridge. And the two of us found ourselves after, you know, living in Asia and having, I was an MTV VJ. I had my own licensing company.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. And then I found myself sitting at home thinking about my son constantly, my six-month-old. When did he eat? When did he poop? Oh, that's your life. It's coming up. Trust me. And I was shopping all the time because I had nothing else to do while he was napping. So I'd be like, okay, let's put him in the stroller. Let's go shopping. Let's go to the mall. And, you know, I always worked. So that was like a weird time for me. I kind of got depressed. I think that was my postpartum period. And I was helping everybody else shop. I'm like, that's what I'll do. So I was sending bags to my girlfriends in Cambridge, to L.A., and I remember I left this 20-minute voicemail on my college friend's voicemail because back then we all used landlines. Mm-hmm. And the people had like voicemail recorders. What are they called?
Answering machines.
Yes. I even forgot. And her husband called me or
texted
me.
Voicemail recorder. I
know.
That.
I couldn't remember. Answering machine. And he was like, what kind of psychopath leaves a 20-minute message about some bags that are on sale? Why don't you guys start a blog? Call it Bag Snob. It'll be a journal because she had just had her baby as well. And so we had this little journal and he was a software engineer and he put up this thing called a Google ad. Back then I was like, what is a Google ad? I'm like, you know, because, you know, back then you're like, okay, we go on Google, but there's really nothing out there. You would Google something and weird things would come up. And in 2 months, we made $400 on our little journal and we thought, whoa, whoa, whoa. We can make money off this little thing where we're just talking about shopping, talking about the bags we love, bags we hate. And so we kind of went into entrepreneurial mode and we thought, okay, maybe we could actually sell ads. Maybe this could be an online magazine. So I had all these big dreams, you know. Mm-hmm. And because I was invited to a lot of lunches in Dallas and being, you know, be like, Michael Kors is coming to town. You want to have lunch? And I'm like, sure. Or Oscar De La Renta is coming to town, or DVS. So I had this access. Rather than just sit there and, you know, shop, I would like harass them. Can I interview you? I have a blog. And they would stare at me like scared to say no. Because
I bet Michael was into it. He'll talk to anyone.
He was. Yeah, actually, he was the first person actually I filmed with. I had this thing called Snob TV. I was way before my time. And I basically just used what I had, you know, this access. And I made it work.
So you had the access.
I had the access.
You started, and now it's a huge site.
Thank you.
It's a full blown. This is not blog. This is like a proper content
thank
site.
Thank you. Yes. It went from a little journal where we would rant or rave about bags we hated or loved. And it was really funny because in the beginning, back in 2005, we would like find a bag on the internet and, you know, talk about it. I would actually go buy it. I still do. I like buy bags if I love it and I review it. And Net-a-Porter actually emailed us back in 2005 and they said, you're using our photos without permission. So you have two options. Take the photos off or become an affiliate advertiser where we pay you. And I'm like, okay, let me think about this. Take the photos off or you pay me to keep it up.
Yeah.
Pay me.
Done and done.
Yeah. And back then they were paying us like in British pound because this is like the early days of affiliate. So we figured out, oh, we can make money. Even if we talk trash about a bag, they're still getting the link through. And then after a while, they were like, you guys are selling out bags, even the ones you hate, because there's someone that's going to love it. Or, you know, or people just click through and buy something else.
Yeah.
Right.
So we were very early on in figuring out. We had like at one time 15 different revenue streams. There were like the CPM, paid per click with Glam Media. There was like we would go hustle ads from Barney's. I think I was the first site Barney's ever bought an ad on. I would go to Neiman Marcus and just cold call. I remember calling, you know, brands like Prada going, can I come to your show?
Yeah.
And the PR would be like, what? Who is this? So I'm like, I'm Bag Snob.
What is your involvement with Bag Snob now? Because you've grown so much. Like you're not sitting home doing blog entries.
Well, you know, I will always keep bagsnob.com because as I always say, we don't own our social media profiles. We don't own the photos even that we're posting. But your site is your own real estate. It's an income producing asset that I will always keep. So I've got writers now. I've got a beauty editor. So I've got people working on it. I've got a whole team. So it's really low maintenance for me. But I still write once in a while. If something really inspires me, I'll go back. But I'm just doing so much.
I've loved following your career because I think it's hilarious that you're called snob, but you are the least snobby person. Yes, you could afford to buy some of these bags, but you're hilarious. You tell everybody all the warts and all stuff about your life.
Yes.
And I think people really respond to that. The other thing I love, which I've noticed more and more, is you've always been such an advocate for Asian representation in the fashion industry. And so the question
all
I have
minorities,
for,
not just Asian. Yeah.
Before we get into the beauty thing, I think that's really important. I wanted to say, have you ever felt frustrated by the pace of change yes, in the fashion industry, for example, like mislabeling two Asian actresses on a caption or something like that.
Oh, that drives me insane.
Are you frustrated by the pace of change still? And what about the beauty industry? Is it the same as fashion? Do you think the same issues arise?
Definitely. I think so. Because I remember, my whole life, even now, I think it's just recently that I started not having to do this. I would buy three different colors of foundation just to mix the right shade for me. And I don't even really wear makeup, but I would just like, mix it with lotion, because you would go and they'd be like, there's the fair skin, and then there was the dark skin, and then there was, Hispanic or Latina skin. And then I'm like, okay, what about Asians?
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, you should just use the one that's yellow based because you're yellow. And now I know, no, if you're yellow, you want to use a cooler pink tone to combat the yellowness, So
we've talked about this.
Yeah, there definitely was that growing up where I would just be at a loss. I didn't have anyone to look up to. And if I opened up a fashion magazine, there was no one that looked like me. So I was like, okay.
Do you still feel that way?
It's getting better, but yes, it's getting better. But like, I still don't see an Asian American model on the cover of, a major fashion magazine.
That's true. Yeah. I just thought I wanted to see the difference between fashion and beauty, because I feel like they're often treated as like two separate industries, though we're of the same.
Well, I think in fashion, though, with skincare, there's less of a divide, because skin is skin, and someone who could be Caucasian or Asian could have similar skin types. Mm-hmm. So I think in that sense, yes. But when it comes to, I think, color cosmetics, just recently gotten better because of the onslaught of like K-beauty and J-beauty and whatever beauty that's on trend. But I think skin, it's like good skin is good skin. It's colorblind. It's just about being healthy, having healthy, glowy skin.
So you are, you're clearly a beauty obsessive, and we're going to talk more about your line soon. But you are, I always thought of you first and foremost as a fashion person.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Which obsession came first?
It was probably beauty, because I remember I wanted this perfume, and then I wanted this mascara, Maybelline. And I was really young, probably like 11. They were like, no one's like, you can't wear mascara. Are you insane? And I remember standing there, and I was at my cousin's house, and I took her mascara and I stole it. Mm. And I was like, oh, this is amazing, because she's like 18. She'll never know. So beauty was, I was obsessed. But also skincare had always been a thing with my family. My grandmother, I remember one of my first memories was her throwing chicken butt on my plate. Eat the chicken butt. You'll have good skin.
What?
Yeah. So
is this like an old wives' tale?
Well, I think it was just a way for, to eat every part of the chicken, and let's make the kids do it and tell them it'll make them look pretty. But my grandmother never said it'll make you look pretty, really. It was always like, you'll have good skin. In the Chinese, if you see someone, the first thing you see is their skin. You never say, oh, you're so pretty. They always go, oh, you have good skin.
Oh.
And so having good skin became this mark of beauty. And growing up, it was like, gotta have good skin, gotta eat. So eat
the chicken butt.
Eat the chicken butt.
Do you think it's still like that in China?
Always. Like when I was an MTV VJ in Asia,
yes,
people would come
us.
Up to me and they'd be like, oh my gosh, your skin is just as pretty on TV, but you are so short, but you have great skin. So that's like a great compliment. You're like, thank you, because having good skin, there's a saying in Chinese that if you have good skin, it can cover tenfold of unattractiveness, which is such a mean thing to say.
Yeah.
But the Chinese, they just really believed in good skin. So I think skincare was always part of my life. Like drinking bone broth, I don't know why it's such a big thing. I've been doing that my entire life. My grandmother would.
For good skin.
For your overall health. So, mm-hmm. She would make winter melon soup with bone broth in the wintertime. Then she would make like chicken bone broth. And then she would make ham bone broth. Like there was all kinds of bone broth.
What was your grandmother's name?
CC.
CC sounds like
CC Chen. Yeah. She was a badass.
Okay, let's talk about your own line.
All about me.
Why did you start this line? Like, what inspired you? It sounds like you were pretty busy, before then.
Yeah. I never thought I would have a skincare line. I really didn't. And for the last decade, I think I just fell victim to this cosmetic confusion. And I was using 13 products twice a day. And there was a post actually that someone had set, or Instagram we were shooting. They're like, oh, this was a great inspo. And I'm like, oh my God, did I really have 13 giant bottles with me in Aspen?
Was this like a K-beauty kind of thing? Or was it just like you were so obsessed with skincare that you just started accumulating this?
Well, because, you just think, well, the more you read, it's like, oh, I need this. I need C during the day. I need retinols at night.
In.
I need glycolic every other day. And I need this peel and I need that. And next you know, you've got 30 products.
Sure.
And being an influencer, right? Being an influencer, people were just sending shit to me, like so much stuff that at one point I'm like, why are you sending me blonde, eyebrow pencil?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Know your audience. So I started telling beauty companies, please don't send me these. Just let me, if I want something, please let me ask you, you know, whatever. And I just started thinking, like, why am I using so many products? I just thought, there has to be a way. There has to be a better way. Like, why can't they make it all into one thing? Why can that not be a thing? So I would ask people, and they're like, oh, no, the acids can't be with C, and this can't be with D, and that can't be with B, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, so I would listen. So I'll wait, and then, you know, every part of my face. So it wasn't until a chance meeting with an old friend of mine, and her family had been in the skincare industry for mm-hmm. several generations, Katie Borghese. And so I said to her all the things I wanted to do. And she's like, you know, I think our lab in Italy could probably help you. I'm like, I have this dream to make a product that's smart. I want to do a compound that, because I've never done laser resurfacing, because being Asian, I've seen what it does to my aunts and my friend's mom's, like, you get pigmentation issues. Mm. And then you look at the people who've been doing laser resurfacing for a long time, their skin's like translucent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that really scared me. But I wanted that smoothness. I wanted the tightness that it promises that when I read about it. So I'm like, can't we make like a laser in a bottle, and that also does all this other stuff, and that can also hydrate, and, you know, just be like the perfect, you know, thing that can also attack damaged cells, and just like be smart, like an AI-driven product. And mm-hmm. she looked, and it was, I say this to people all the time, people in the industry stare at me like, you're insane. Yeah, right.
In the beauty industry?
Beauty industry. They're okay? Like, that's impossible. How can you
get all that in one bottle?
Yeah, and how can you have an AI-driven? No, that's not. And so she was like, I think we can help you. And so I said, so I can't go to Italy because this, you know, medical grade lab is supposed to be amazing. But I was like, I'm going to be going to LA next week. And she's like, so are they. So that's how it started. And then so I told them my dream, and the two lab scientists were like, oh my God, you're so obsessed with skincare. We definitely want to help you. And they love that I was also knowledgeable. And so I said, I was reading recently that these harsh chemicals we're putting on our faces that are great for the damaged parts, it's destroying the healthy cells, whatever healthy cells that we have left. It's kind of like
we can't distinguish.
Can't it's just distinguish. Like, it's just flooding our entire right. face.
You sound like Barbara Sturm.
Yes. But right? Yeah. So I'm like, I want a smart product that only treats where I need it to be treated. And so the first formulation came, and we started testing it on my friends. I was like, okay, guys, I'm doing this thing. It's really just for myself, but now I'm thinking maybe I can actually make a skincare. At first, it was really selfish. I'm just like, I want a product. I love the idea of having a customized little Tina product just for me to use. And mm-hmm. that's how it really started. And I enlisted a bunch of people, Dye Prada, Candace Swanepoel. You know, I was like,
So these are all your buddies.
These are my buddies.
Okay.
And Jay, Erica.
Jay, my fashion director at Marie Claire, got a lab sample even before me.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he did.
Well, he knows all the stuff.
Well, anytime I'm with influencers, I'm just like, do you guys, because they love, they're always like, what do you use on your skin? What do you use on your skin? Because no amount of makeup can cover, you know, mm-hmm. as you know, in the industry. So I said, yeah, I have this thing. If you want to try it, just give me feedback. That's all I want. And they're like, okay. So I would just hand it to them everywhere I went. And at the sixth formulation, everyone's like, I think we got it. And I was like, no. Lindsay from Dye Prada, she was still breaking out. I'm like, there's something, because she's so sensitive. She has rosacea, eczema, everything you can have, she had. So then we took out the fragrance and we took out all the natural stuff. So by the ninth formulation,
anybody that was testing it was fine.
Everybody was fine except for this one friend.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, really?
She probably would have been me.
They're like, just for that one friend. I'm like, yes.
Is she like that friend?
She's
like, did you know that she was going to be the problem?
I knew she was going to be the problem. I knew she was. But I wanted to make sure, if she was okay with it, the whole world would be. It would be a truly inclusive beauty line that wasn't just like, oh, everyone's beautiful, 25 years old, different skin color. It literally is like teenagers to 70-year-olds. Everybody extracts different things from it because everyone's skin is different. But because of the patent-pending delivery system, it's able to treat all types of skin, and there's nothing like it.
How is this going to grow? Like, you're just doing one.
Yeah.
Is it one and done, or have we not seen that?
You know, I'm working on a couple of other things, but right now I'm focused on this because you can, this is, so let me tell you about the technology of it. So
I was going to ask that next.
Yeah. Okay.
What is this wonder sauce?
Yeah. Secret sauce.
Mm-hmm.
So right now when you're resurfacing, as you know, can help you look younger, but the treatments out there right now are problematic because, as we were just saying, they're flooding our entire faces mm-hmm. with harsh actives.
Too aggressive.
But we're told, like, well, we start at 10%, then we move you to 15, then to 20.
You're talking about, like, acids mostly.
Yeah, acids mm-hmm. mostly. So then what? And then until, like, a car paint job, until it's all worn out, then you have no skin. and then what? So our delivery system is such that we draw the damage-causing free radicals to it with the patent-pending siren capsules. That's where all the actives are, all the yummy things like the retinol palmitate, which we naturally have in our bodies, our vitamin C and the E's and our micronized hyaluronic acid. So that's not going to be released until we've drawn the damaged free radical cells to it and it starts eating away at the enzyme through the enzyme layer, then it releases it. So if you have healthy cells, that's not going to be released. It's just sitting on top of your skin. And that first layer is a glycolic acid, which is so gentle. As you know, it goes in and breaks up all the dirt. And then the second layer is the alpha hydroxy acid, which is kind of the vacuum that cleans up everything mm-hmm. that got broken up. And then the third layer is the low and high hyaluronic acid, the low and high chain. It's mm-hmm. micronized, so that really penetrates deep and mm-hmm. hydrates. And then the capsules. So the capsules are just laying there, not activated unless it's being attacked by free radicals. And as you know, free radicals are all around us. And the older you are, the more you've lived.
So if you have free radicals in your skin, it'll open up the capsule.
Correct.
And then you deliver the actives.
You get it. Yes.
Okay.
The way free radicals work and the damage, they're constantly chewing up our healthy skin cells. And that's when we get that wrinkle. And then we get
the spot.
The spots. Yes. So by making it more attractive molecularly than our own skin cells, we're attracting the free radicals to us instead of our skin cells. And so you literally start seeing your skin.
So it's like a decoy?
It's a decoy. Yes. Okay. And by the way,
why didn't you say so?
It's a decoy. Yeah. I have to get the technology out. By avoiding your healthy cells, we're improving the integrity of your overall skin because now we're not breaking down the skin barrier. We're not causing every time you cause irritation, you're like damaging the barrier and you're causing your skin to be weakened. The more you do that, that's why sometimes 35-year-olds will look older than 50-year-olds because they're doing too much. We're all like doing too much.
It makes me think, are we going to find out how old you are?
Exfoliating too much. Everything's too much. I graduated in 93.
This is her answer always. I've heard other people try and ask. So I was like, I'm going to try and ask.
Yeah, you'll see.
But what about all these other things that you love? Obviously, you still use sunscreens from other companies.
Yeah.
Are you going to sort of give up on everything in your skincare line, or can this be used in conjunction with other things?
Okay, the reason I made this is not because, I'm going to be a big skincare. I saw a missing link in the skincare industry. I saw that there was this void where something that would give you the professional-like results at home and not wait 28 days where your skin gets used to upper, higher levels of actives, where you can take it home, use it, and notice a difference right away, or within 3 to 6 days, everyone notices a difference. And so I thought, okay, let's just do this compound. And I use it with my Augustinus Botter Rich Cream.
Which goes first, your thing or that?
Mine
thing?
Always.
Okay,
the resurfacing. The resurfacing creates the multi-channels that allows it to go in even deeper. And I use Clé de Peau Eye Cream. So I've gone from 13 steps to 3 steps.
What about your cleanser?
Oh, I use as clinical cleanser.
Oh, is clinical.
Mm-hmm. And I also use this like sonic cleanser that kind of just
like a brush?
No, it's that blade. It's like
like the Dermapore has one now.
But it doesn't do any dermaplaning at all though. It's a very dull.
No, it like pushes.
It's dull. Yeah, it just pushes the blackheads out.
And then there's like water spraying. It's very nice.
Yeah, but I use cold water and I use a muslin cloth that from London that takes a month to get to me. So I buy.
What
by
is
the
this
dozen.
Muslin cloth?
Liz Earle.
Oh yes. So, it's the best with the hot cloth.
No,
polish.
Yeah, but I don't use hot water with it. Hot water is the worst thing. Like the best tip I give people is only wash your face with cold water because hot water, imagine how drying it is on your skin.
But in the shower, you take a hot shower. Surely.
I take a hot shower. Okay. But I'm like this.
To keep it away from your face.
Yeah, the water's not even touching her face.
And I only wash my hair like once or twice a week. So the hot water. And I even try to just do lukewarm now because I notice
it dries your skin.
It dries your skin. Hot water is so bad. Scalding water, that whole like old wives' tale of like scrubbing with a hot cloth. No.
It feels so good, but it's not good for your skin.
It's not good for you. It doesn't even feel good to me.
So I know you said you forgot when we saw you, we walked in, you said you forgot your beauty bag. That was the one thing we wanted
but
you
I know
to do.
But I know what's in it. I know what's in it.
What's in it?
She's like, I have it memorized. But you still have your evening bag
here.
Yeah,
this evening bag is incredible.
I have my evening bag. Okay,
so. Going inside.
Because she has like a golden box.
Oscar
is
De La Renta.
Oscar?
Yep, Oscar Alibi. I have my little charger, portable charger. I've got my fat mascara.
Okay.
It's the Fat Lashes from Charlotte Tilbury. She makes the best mascara because she sleeps in it. So her mascaras.
That is true.
Her mascaras are actually very moisturizing almost for your lashes. And I've got my silver eyeliner. I buy the dead stock. This is L'Oreal Silky Sommé. And then this is my favorite thing.
What?
What the hell is that?
This is
she just pulled a dental tool out of her purse. Her evening purse.
Oh my gosh.
That is a dental tool.
Artiste,
or a sex toy. I can't tell.
Artiste Circle Brush, the Fluenta.
Oh.
And so I have this little tiny Clé de Peau thing that has my little tiny bit of Clé de Peau, their future skin, which is a super lightweight. And if I need touch-ups,
So that your finger doesn't have to get in there and mess up everything.
Because I have three events tonight. So I have to last until like midnight.
So this is your touch-up brush.
Yes, this is my touch-up brush.
Which seems high maintenance, but the way you're miming it makes sense. So then you don't get your fingers.
Why would you have to buff it in? You put it on with that and then you have to buff it in with your finger?
No, you buff them with this. This brush has like a million.
Plus you're shaking hands.
How do you not know about this?
I don't know about that brush.
I actually do know the brush, but I wouldn't think to take it out at night. You know?
I love that.
Yeah, because think about it. I shake so many people's hands at these events. I'm going to stick that on my eye. I don't touch my face. I literally only touch my face when I'm washing it. Even then, I'm like, I wash my hands first. But throughout the day, I never touch my face.
So last question. We've been getting some feedback from listeners who actually want some fashion advice, too.
Fashion advice. Okay.
From our beauty podcast.
Yes. And sometimes we talk a little bit about fashion, but it's always within the context.
Within context,
of beauty.
Yeah.
Let's talk about hard fashion, okay?
Whoa, okay.
What are the five things we need in our closet right now?
I think every woman or man should have a really well-cut blazer that you can wear it at night over a dress. I think that every woman should have one really great dress, not in black, but in red.
Oh, okay. Ooh. A blazer and a red dress.
Yes.
Is the blazer black or can it be like navy?
The blazer can be black, white, gray. Doesn't matter because I love like playing with color.
Okay.
I think every woman should have a great pair of jeans, not the legging kind, but the kind that kind of are boot cut. So you could either wear little boots under it or a pair of heels under it. And then a camisole. And then I think she should have a pair of shoes that she can wear from day to night. So either just like a strappy with just a 3-inch, you can kind of like go from cocktails and still wear at work and not look too crazy.
There you go.
So with these five things, I think you can go anywhere. You can actually travel.
Where can we get a great camisole?
I know. I have trouble with that. My boobs are always like
yeah,
you see them.
I feel like my boobs are too big for a camisole.
Like they don't stay where they should be in a camisole. Like on a model, they stay where they should
be. You know, I was just looking at a camisole the other day at Galvin London. That's the more expensive one. And then if you want a camisole that's really great and doesn't cost a lot, Zara.
Oh, okay. And does the camisole have any like edging or is it
simple? I think a simple edge. I mean, you can get lace, but I think if you're just going to invest in one camisole, I would just do a simple color. I love like a shimmering gray silver because then you could wear it under a white blazer.
Oh, you're making me happy. Everybody always says like beige and brown. That doesn't look good on me.
Silver gray platinum. Nice. Just kind of a shimmer.
Platinum camisole.
Good on all skin tones.
On all skin tones. And that's, so if you're traveling like that, you put your navy or your black or your gray blazer over it, and then you're dressed. And then when you go to your cocktail, you drape the blazer, and then you add a little fun necklace, and then you're dressed for the evening.
Awesome.
Full of great
tips.
Thank
you.
Tina, come back anytime.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Thank you for having me.
Have fun at the fashion events.
Her car is waiting. She's got to go.
No, sorry.
It's time to raise a wand.
First raise a wand of the year.
What
Make
are you raising?
Good.
What are you raising a wand to?
Oh, I have to go first.
I can go first if you want.
No, I'll go first. You passed my way.
No, I'm excited about mine. Can
All
I
right,
go?
Fine.
I've been waiting a month and a half to talk about this. Dun, da, da, da.
What is it? Oh, the concealer. Yeah.
And this is Hourglass's new concealer, and it's a game changer. It's called Vanish Airbrush Concealer. It's $34. It is worth every penny. I know that's a pricey concealer. I have not been using foundation. This is like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like the Laura Mercier in a way.
Okay.
It's like the Tarte Invisitape, but much sheerer. And like the Laura Mercier, but easier to blend and more illuminating.
Okay, yeah.
And the Laura Mercier I'm talking about is the one that like Mario D. Say his last name for me.
The Diva Novich.
Makeup by Mario.
Yeah,
that talks
by Mario.
About a lot of people on the
he was on the show
on the podcast have talked about that concealer. But this is going to be everybody's new favorite. It just has this consistency that blends right in, and I've been putting it under my eyes, down the bridge of my nose, and on my chin, and then just pat like we tell everybody to do. Pat, don't rub.
Yes.
And your whole face is like brightened up. Doesn't get in little
it's
lines.
Thin.
It's thin.
Thin. That's
it's
what's
serum-y.
Nice about it.
Yes. It's serum-y almost.
Yeah.
And there's a big shade range, which has been really helpful. So I actually have two shades and I like use them both depending on which day. But oh my God, it's a good concealer.
And it's a luxurious brand that's also cruelty-free, which is unusual.
Yeah. And I was going to say we should do a whole segment on cruelty-free because it's getting easier and easier to find good products. But
I know the founder's like a horse lover. She's really good about mm-hmm. that. And even down to like the bristles on her componentry are completely cruelty-free. So this is an
very
excellent
nice.
Vegan cruelty-free product.
That's a good one. Okay.
Thank you. I win.
All right. Well, should I even bother then?
I don't know. I made it competitive for some reason. I'm
I don't
sorry.
Know.
I embrace
That's
you.
That's healthy.
I'm sorry. I embrace you. Put up your boundary.
Normal. okay. Ready? So I was at the Chanel Atelier a month ago.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, I just got to get a whiff while I'm here. I went like some kind of like psycho to go smell Chanel number 19. Now, my grandmother used to wear that.
Okay.
And it always to me smelled like, you know, my grandmother wasn't like fancy lady, but it felt like, oh, this is adulthood. This is sophistication. Mm. And I'd always like, it came in this, like a lips, like an oversized lipstick case. Do you remember like the
I know
Chanel
the
ones?
It's
yeah, they
gorgeous.
Looked like a lipstick case. So I'd yeah. always be like, what the hell is this? Oh, it's fragrance, you know?
Yeah.
Same thing every single weekend. Like, surprise.
I need it.
Yeah. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to get it. So I got the Chanel number 19.
Uh-huh.
It is, I finally
have you been wearing it too? Or are you
not
just
today.
Like huff
it? No, I've been wearing it.
Okay.
And the reason why I find it like now was the time is it always felt like too lady for me. It's green. It's iris. It's.
It's a powdery floral.
It's powdery.
Or aldehydic floral.
It's kind of aldehydic. that, okay. Gut fragrance. People don't drag me over the coals for that one. But it feels synthetic and grassy and sharp, but also powdery too. It feels like it's from another time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt like finally I was ready for it. Like I think that I'm at a point in my life where it's almost like a piece of jewelry, like before it was like, yeah. oh, it was wearing you, or yeah. like if you're not a hoop.
Like your first charm bracelet is your Chanel number 5. This
yeah.
is like your pearls.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just fabulous, and it's at most Chanel counters. So if you're like at a Macy's or a Nordstrom, I would definitely give it a whiff and see if like maybe it's for you. It's
yeah.
a distinctive scent.
Oh, good one.
Thank
We're classy
you.
In 2020.
Real class-like.
Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social, @fatmascara, shoot us a DM. And we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
5.
5, please.